Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 9th of July, recording at 9:14 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights. Asia, not surprisingly, was considerably firmer, particularly on the opening today. Some of those gains were pegged back, but not all of them. We had the best performances in India and China. European stock markets were also quite robust performers, but they closed out when Wall Street was still in positive territory. However, in the latter trading, or as the afternoon progressed on Wall Street, the deterioration did set in, and all of yesterday's gains and more were wiped out. So you've got the Dow with a close of 236 points. That's over 2%, just over 2%. The S&P's down 2.25% at 29 points. NASDAQ down 2.6%. So Wall Street took a big hit. More on that in a moment. The government bond markets had been a little weaker but firmed as Wall Street weakened. I'm talking about government bond prices, of course. The U.S. dollar is weaker in here today, currently down 400 ticks at 72.6. That's sort of in the middle of the range, though, for the dollar index. And the euro has firmed up to 157.45. Precious metals were a bit higher in here today. All metals were a bit higher in here today. Grains and beans a bit mixed, with soybeans showing the strongest performance. White sugar was also quite strong. Crude oil, last but not least, slipped a little further. Trading after hours here at 135.66, that's down 38 cents on the day. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the Wall Street leash effect still rules, I fear, in terms of the impact that today's close will have elsewhere. There was a factor blamed. Again, it's financial problems generally. And rumors are rife that the banks are going to have to write off a lot more in terms of bad debts. And nobody would dare go against that view, because that's been the evidence that we have seen all along. So that saga continues. But I think the particular blow in here today was that the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac mortgage organizations are trying to borrow capital to shore up their balance sheets, and evidently the bond coupons that are being asked, the yields in other words, are eyebrow-raisingly high. I don't have any more details on that than that, but that was being cited as a factor behind the late sell-off. But what this all means is that so far we have had no more than the colorful phrase of the dead cat bounce here near the July and near the January and March lows for the S&P 500 index, and we have a new closing low here for the S&P. One would expect some volatility near a potential turning point, and I am of the view that we should get a technical rally in here quite soon, because so many of the indicators are very oversold. They can always become more oversold, though. Again, with and the downward moves we've been seeing, all the pessimism and so on, this is the sort of background that usually does lead to a technical rebound, and it may still do that. I do note, or you can see on the charts, and you will probably recall, that at the January lows, at the March lows, we had plenty of churning. You had one big day on the upside, followed by a big day on the downside, followed by upside, and so on. And that is typical, but the main point to make is that even though indices are really quite oversold in here on technical readings, it's all for the bulls to prove on the upside. And we have financial concerns to the fore. One concern, though, that is not causing the problem in here today is the crude oil price. Now, I've mentioned three levels in terms of crude oil: 135 for the midpoint danger line violation of that last small trading range, and we have already seen the inability of crude to maintain its break above $140. It was interesting in here today because Iran, which appears to need a stronger oil price, judging by the military bluster, has launched a number of missiles, test missiles today, as you probably heard. Now, that did push the crude oil price up earlier on, got up to 130, a high of 138.28, before falling back, and is currently, as I said, at 135.66, and that's not far from the low of the day. Natural gas, which is not affected by this saber-rattling, was considerably weaker, falling 425 points down to 1190.94. Now, I have been talking about the seesaw here with oil on one side and stock markets on the other, and it will be very interesting to see how Asia responds. There might be, I would expect there to be some knee-jerk shock action in response to Wall Street's decline. But if Asian markets, which have led the small rally that we've seen, such as it is, and the emphasis is on the small and such as it is, but nonetheless, you've got Vietnam has rallied almost 20% off its low. China has rallied over 9% off its low. Now, and India had a very good performance in here today after a week of steady ranging action. So if Asia really is in recovery mode, investors there may well adopt, well, what we would see evidence of that if it is in recovery mode by investors after initial knee-jerk response to the weakness on Wall Street tonight, just saying, well, the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac problems are not our problems. That's the Wall Street financial mess. And then potentially they recover their nerve, but it's an interesting test for them. That's for sure. And the Wall Street leash effect will remain a powerful pull, whatever happens tomorrow. Not necessarily on a day-to-day basis, but my point is that we could not expect Wall Street to be going lower, for instance, and the Asian markets to be going higher for very long. Again, it'll be interesting to see what happens there in Asia tomorrow. My view overall is that the governance, the financial problems, the whole package is stronger in Asia than it is in the US. And I've said that sadly, the US still remains the epicenter of global risk. If you want to depress yourself a little bit on that subject, go online and read Ron Paul's latest freedom statement. He's got an essay there covering US financial history in particular. Over the last, well, really, since the from the Depression onwards involving or essentially emphasizing what's happened since the Federal Reserve System was introduced. It's an interesting piece, and not without merit. Ron Paul, of course, is the U.S. congressman who's a gold advocate, who's regarded by some as a maverick and by others as an heroic figure. I'll let you make up your own mind. Now, getting back to these markets, as I say, bonds firmed when Wall Street weakened so sharply, and that's what we can expect. Bonds, the long-dated government bonds, and U.S. Treasury bonds and Wall Street are definitely on opposite sides of the same seesaw. Now, the dollar, the G8 efforts are will always have a barely disguised agenda of trying to steady the U.S. dollar overall, but the fact remains that, and Ron Paul certainly does emphasize this point, that too many people hold dollars that they don't really want. So I have never been of the view that we were going to get some sort of major recovery in the U.S. dollar here. I think the best we get is a trading range for a considerable length of time. And even if the dollar was bottoming out, and I think that's probably doubtful. It's possible, given the extreme technical action we've had over the last few years. It's possible, but not probable in my view. But even if it is bottoming out, I think it'll be a long affair, as U.S. interest rates are not going to be going up anytime soon, in my view. And as I said before, there are a lot of unwanted dollars out there. Now, let me go back to oil. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around here a little bit, but I talked about three price levels. Below 135, and we would have a midpoint danger line violation. That would be the second warning of trend inconsistency. The first warning of trend inconsistency was the failure to maintain the break above $140. A more obvious signal of technical deterioration would be a sustained move below $130, because that would be taking out the last in the sequence of higher reaction lows. But for really convincing definitive action of a medium-term correction, we would need to see the low at $120 taken out for more than a day or two. If and when that happens, I think we will have irrefutable evidence that a medium-term correction is underway. Peak oil notwithstanding. My own view on peak oil, which is very much in the news these days, is that we have seen peak oil in terms of the so-called light sweet crude, that most of the refiners, certainly the U.S. refiners, want. We have plenty of the so-called sour, heavier crude, and that will remain the case. It's more expensive to produce and to refine, which is why people want the light stuff. But there's certainly plenty of it about. So in terms of peak oil in terms of a very steady and significant drop in global production, I would be surprised if that is a threat over the next few years. Now, again, if we see that further setback in crude oil, and I think that's quite likely, that will certainly cause some relief in terms of inflation expectations, and it may well cause central banks to soften some of their hawkish comments. And certainly if Wall Street heads lower, I think the Fed will have to change its tune, I think the ECB is going to struggle to hold this line for much longer. It'll be under a lot of political pressure, and in the UK, I would expect that the Bank of England will be under pressure from the UK government to cut rates in the next 2 to 3 months. What else to mention here? Food prices are still pretty strong. The same old supply and elasticity meets rising demand themes. So for a little bit of a wrap here, it looks like we may actually be getting what would be a welcome correction in the crude oil price, but the evidence is not conclusive. Asia, in the form of Vietnam and China and India, has led the little technical rally that we've seen in the last few days, and that will be quite interesting if those markets are able to hold their current lows. Look for a test of confidence in those markets tomorrow. Don't be surprised if the dollar does not go up, as so many people are forecasting. And the precious metals, I haven't really said much about them in here today. This is not a period of seasonal strength for precious metals, but the action that we're seeing is very, very steady, and I think that they certainly deserve a position in both investment and speculative accounts. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you, except to say I will not be here tomorrow, and I will not be in the office at all tomorrow, but I will be back on Friday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.